Father, I want to thank you for being in this room with us. We are grateful that where two or three are gathered, you are there. I want to thank you for all the people in this room who've been attending this church for a long, long time. And I want to thank you for all the people in this room who've maybe just started. For all of us, help us as we look at your word to leave here as changed people. May we encounter you through your words. Open up our hearts, soften our hearts towards you. Eliminate the distractions around us. May this be a time of worship through receiving from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to take you back to my junior high days. My junior high days. I did something rather incredible. I managed to land myself a girlfriend. Thank you. Don't look at my wife, it wasn't her. Now, when my parents found out that I had a girlfriend, they also found out that this girlfriend was from a different religion. And my parents told me, that's not a good idea. But what do parents know? So I continued on, no big deal. Then my Christian piano teacher found out that I was dating someone from another religion. And she said, that's not a good idea. And I thought, what do you know? I know better. I'm in junior high. And so I continued to date this girl, and for the next year of dating this girl, we spent most of our dating time fighting about the differences in our religion, realizing that the differences between our two religions were numerous and insurmountable. So we continued to date and fight. And I spent a year being semi-miserable because I didn't listen to my parents. I didn't listen to people around me who cared. I decided I knew best. I knew everything I needed to know. Does this sound familiar to any of us in this room? We are continuing on in our series called Elevated Wisdom. And my hope is in this series, by looking at the wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs, that you in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, will be able to stand out because you have elevated wisdom. You have listened to what God has to say. I really want the best for your life. I do. I want you to have the best Christmas this year because you have elevated wisdom. And wisdom is so needed in our fast-paced, quick outrage, polarized, fearful world. And if any of us are to rise above that bit in our culture, to rise above the fear, the stress, the hatred, and to joy, it's going to require wisdom. And this last week we looked at how laziness plays a role in wisdom. This morning we are going to look at know-it-alls. And we're going to find that listening sets you apart. Had I listened to my parents, had I listened to my piano teacher, I'd have had a much better grade 9 year. But I knew better. This morning, it's going to be like I'm introducing you to a cast of characters in a play. And today's cast is going to include 5 different groups of people. There are the counselors. There are the mockingbirds. There are the jesters, the toddlers, and the deer. Quite an odd cast, wouldn't you say? But this is what the book of Proverbs is speaking about. And as we go through this list of this cast of characters, I want you to determine which one you are the most like. Granted, all of us are probably going to spend a little bit of time being each one of these cast members. But I want you to pick out the one that best describes you Fair enough? All right, here we go. Let's take a look at the toddlers first. The toddlers. Funny thing, you know, how many of you have had kids? So you know something, you know how to finish this phrase, the terrible... Yeah, sometimes it doesn't stop at two, does it? It's true. Funny thing is about toddlers is they have not just learned to walk. They have learned to run. And they know a very, very powerful word in their vocabulary that they use a lot. And what?
No.
Some of you really have had kids. Whoa, yes, that wonderful word, no. I saw this meme the other day. I thought I'd share it with you. It's hard to read up on the screen there, so I'll just read it to you. It says, it quotes Mom. Mom says, "I'm not going to tell you again." Anyone ever said that? "I'm not going to tell you again." And then the narrator comes in and says this, "The mom is lying. She is going to tell them again. She is going to tell them many, many, many more times." And at the bottom it says, "Mama needs a nap." Yeah. How is cathartic for some of you, I'm sure, just recognizing that. Yes. Oh, how many times have we said, "I'm not going to tell you again"? Because here's the thing about toddlers. They don't listen. Testify? Toddlers don't listen. They don't care what you have to say. I'll tell you, you want to make a toddler run faster? Say this. What's that in your mouth? They don't want to listen to anything that you have to say. And the thing is, sometimes adults can act just like toddlers, can't we? I know this is a shock. Sometimes we won't listen. Sometimes we won't take advice. And the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, has some things to say for those who don't take advice, for those who won't listen, for those who act like toddlers. Let's take a peek. Toddlers, first of all, have no life. It says in Proverbs 10, "People who accept discipline, people who listen, are on the pathway to life. But those who ignore correction, who act like toddlers, will go astray." See, there's a pathway that leads to life. And those who listen are on it. But those who don't listen veer off that path. And that's why we can say toddlers literally have no life. It says this in Proverbs 29, "Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism, acts like a toddler, will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery." That's pretty stark, isn't it? Sometimes the Bible does not hold punches. This is a punch. When we stubbornly refuse to accept criticism, we can suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever watched this happen in real life? Someone who won't listen, someone who won't take advice, and suddenly their life goes... You ever seen that? Ever lived that? Oh, I love this front row up here, man. You guys are honest. So wonderful. Can you guys come back next week? Toddlers will find destruction. They will. You know, if you've ever had a toddler, they find destruction. But I'll tell you, on a scale of 0 to 10, the destruction that toddlers get into is usually like a 1. When adults don't listen and they reap destruction, it can be much, much more serious. So, toddlers have no life. Second of all, toddlers choose failure over reward. There's a show called Lucky Louie on HBO, and there's two characters in this show. There's Louie and Kim. And Louie and Kim are about to go on a romantic weekend. And Louie decides to start the weekend off by bringing Kim some red roses. This would sound like a good deal, right? let me tell you what happens. And I want you to ask the question, who is listening? Who is listening? Okay, here we go. It says, Kim starts off. So she gets the flowers. Kim says, listen, try not to take this the wrong way, okay? But if we're going to be married for the next 30 years, I need you to know that red roses are not my thing. I really don't like red roses. Okay. Louis replies. He says, okay, well, can I critique you on how you just told me that? It's not that big a deal. I just think that you should have thanked me for the flowers first and then said the thing about the roses. Lines are being drawn. Okay, so Kim comes back. She's going to state her case. Kim says, I've told you before that I don't like red roses. Remember that? Now, this was my marriage, I'd say no, but for Louis, Louis says, but still, I was thinking of you, so I bought you flowers. Kim says, now they're going to start digging their heels in. Kim says, if you were thinking of me, you wouldn't have gotten me red roses. I'm starting to sweat just read this. Louis says, oh, come on, Kim, I bought you flowers. That's a nice thing. You say thank you. It's called being polite. Oh, yeah. Kim says, you know what would be polite? If when I told you things, you actually listened. Louis says, hang on. All I'm asking for here is a tiny bit of gratitude. So maybe they're not your favorite kind of flowers. And Kim says, no, I didn't say not my favorite. I said, don't bring me red roses. Louis, what is wrong with you? Are you allergic to saying thank you to people? Kim says, how do you expect someone to thank you for giving them something they specifically told you they don't want? Louis says, you know what's a better question? How can you get given red roses and turn around and act like this? Can you just sense the romance in the air? How do you think this weekend is going to go? It's not. Who was not listening? Both of them. Both of them chose to act like toddlers. They didn't want to listen. And in doing so, they chose failure over reward. They wanted to be right rather than be happy. There's a nice picture of roses there. Proverbs 13 says, people who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. Neither of them wanted to listen. Neither of them found success. Both of them found trouble, because they were acting like toddlers. Now, you don't have to be married to have an experience like this. You can have this happen between friends, between extended family. All it takes is someone not listening, and you will find that toddlers will choose failure over reward. It's very sad. So, that is toddlers. That's the first member of our cast. Let's go on to the second member of our cast. This is mockingbirds. Now, mockingbirds, as you know, in the wild, mimic sounds of other birds, even insects. I didn't know that until I did some research for this. Mockingbirds can actually imitate insects. And when it comes to human beings, we can mock other people. We make fun of them. We pretend to be them. We put them down. We become greater than they are. And the thing is, we find out about mockers are birds of a feather. It says, mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. Mockers tend to gather together, not with the wise. This allows them to be part of this polarization where we talk about the other side, the enemy, the threat, it can lead to looking at the other side in a dehumanizing way, as less than you. Mockingbirds tend to flock together. CBC Radio ran an article a few weeks ago about a couple that moved from California to Texas. Now, that's not a big news story. It was the reason why they moved from California to Texas. Paul and Brenda Chabot, they moved from California to Texas. You want to know why? For politics. Their neighbors didn't agree with them politically. They thought they'd find birds of a feather in Texas. And it is our tendency as human beings to put people around us who see the world just as we do. And it's easy to be a mocker. It's easy to make fun of other people when they are far away over there. And we've got our little group over here that all thinks alike. Have you ever heard the term confirmation bias? Confirmation bias is exactly this: when we gather people around us who are just like us. And this is what the Bible is saying. This is what mockers do. Mockers like to gather around. They don't want to be with the wise. They want to be far away from them, where they're never challenged. And this can happen even in church circles, where we don't like to be challenged. We don't like to be around people who think differently than us. That is a form of confirmation bias. Mockers are birds of a feather. Second of all, mockers, or mockingbirds, respond only to pain. It says in Proverbs 19, if you punish a mocker, the simple-minded will learn a lesson. If you correct the wise, they will be all the wiser. Now pay really careful attention to the fact that it's addressing both mockers and the wise, and they both need a change along their path. Did you notice that? They both need to change. But what changes a mocker? Punishment. What changes the wise? Correction. In other words, all it takes for the wise is for someone to say, hey, have you ever thought of going this way? And they'll go, oh, yeah. Now that's wisdom. But for a mocker, it's punishment. It's pain. Pain changes their course. You know, have you ever been around people where you know it's only pain? They have to learn all things the hard way. Know anyone like that? Yeah. Yeah. This is long-term toddlerism is what's going on here. They make fun of people who give them advice even, and will slander them. So those are the mockingbirds. And if you spend enough time as a mockingbird, eventually you come to this. You become a jester. And jesters are the fools of the court. And Proverbs has a lot to say about fools, if you ever get a chance to read. And I would encourage you to do just that. As we go through this series, read through the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters, all of them golden. It's great stuff. But here's things about jesters. Jesters resent authority. Proverbs 15, only a fool, only a jester, despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. Parents try to teach their kids, of course, and the wise respond, but the jesters will resent that. And the thing is, it starts with parents, but it can spread to other authorities. You ever notice this? It can spread to teachers, to police officers, to politicians, to the boss. Not being under authority. I don't want to be under authority. That, the Bible says, is the work and thinking of a jester. The fools of the court. Jesters resent authority. Second of all, jesters don't change. Proverbs 27, this is quite depressing. You cannot separate fools, jesters, from their jesterness. Their foolishness, even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. This is very interesting. You know what a mortar and pestle is, right? Yeah, okay. So what it's saying here, and you kind of, this is one of those wisdom nuggets. You just have to kind of let it sit there and marinate for a bit. But what this is saying is essentially jesters don't change even with pain. Even when things get really, really difficult, even when it's like they're being ground in a mortar and pestle, they do not change. This is where you have people who will repeat patterns over and over and over and over. Have you ever seen that? Yeah, I've done that too. This is when we are being jesters. So, you start off as toddlers who are not listening. Mockingbirds make fun of other people and just gather around people just like them. Then you become a jester, the no-ones. But what if somewhere along the line, you and I think, you know, I'm realizing this is getting me nowhere. I don't want this. This is when the book of Proverbs says there is hope. There is hope. You can become the fourth member of the cast, which is a deer. Now, deer are funny creatures because they have the ability to actually move their ears. Have you ever noticed that? Ever watched deer? They can be looking right at you, but their ear has gone somewhere else. They're picking up something over here. They constantly listen all the time. Their very lives depend on listening, and they're very good at it. Amazing creatures. Human beings can't turn our ears. We have to turn our whole head. But deer are always listening. So here's the thing. If you become a deer and you are always listening, you're always taking advice, deer advance in life. It says those who listen to instruction, those who are like deer, will prosper, it says. Did you know there's actual research out there asking bosses who they value as employees more? The employee who asks questions of their coworkers, or the ones who try to do things on their own and figure it out on their own? Which do you think they value more? It's the ones who question. They value more because they can see that they're listening to the people who know more than they do in the job. And so deer advance in life. They're highly valued. Second of all, deer treasure advice. Proverbs 25 says, to one who listens, to the deer, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. Deer don't see criticism or advice as something that's bothersome and want to avoid it. They welcome it. They treasure it. It's like a generations-old family heirloom that's being passed to them. That's how much they treasure valid criticism. If you want to be a deer, if you want to be a listener, listeners will treasure criticism. And eventually, if you've been a deer long enough, you can actually start to distribute wisdom. And Proverbs gives us a little advice about that, because you eventually will become a counselor. Counselors distribute wisdom. And here's what we know about counselors. Counselors get maximum returns on their investment. This is what I mean from Proverbs 9. Anyone who rebukes a mocker, a mockingbird, will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. Now watch, pay attention. Don't bother correcting mockers. Don't bother. They will only hate you. But, says, correct the wise, correct the deer, and they will love you. Instruct the deer, the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. In other words, counselors don't give everyone equal time. If you really want to live in wisdom, you will pass your wisdom on to people who are listening. If you've ever tried to teach people who don't want to learn, you are wasting your time. I see some heads going, you've been there, done that. And you know, even from personal experience, if you don't want to learn from someone, it doesn't matter what they say. They could just want all day. You know, Charlie Brown, right? Want. Is that too old a reference for you? I realize I didn't do it very well, but, you know, his teacher? Eventually, everyone sounds like the teacher. Want. Because we're not listening. But for counselors who are distributing wisdom, when they find someone who's listening, who's a deer, it says pour into that person. You're going to get much more traction with that person than you are someone who doesn't want to listen. And once again, you will notice that both the mocker and the wise need some correction. And the difference here is how they respond to it. And that can be a lesson for all of us. How do we respond to correction? How do we respond when people give us advice? So let's say, for a moment, you want to be more like a deer, less like a toddler this morning. Sound good? You want to know how? Okay, let's get into it. So if you want that to happen for you, what can I do? Number one, seek feedback. And the first thing I want you to notice is I didn't say get ready for feedback or welcome feedback. Seek is an activity. There is an active participation part of that. Seeking it out means you actually ask people for advice, for feedback, for criticism. In my line of work, I have a yearly evaluation. The board evaluates me. Did you know that? You need to pray for them. Yeah, that's a tough job. It's not easy, you know, evaluating people, but they do. They evaluate me. And that's a good thing for me. And I welcome that. It's an interesting thing to have someone evaluate how are you doing as a minister. As a representative of Jesus Christ, how are you doing? And so they go through various different things, all of it good. You know, were you generous? Were you kind? Were you truthful? Were you encouraging? All these kinds of things. But as I was reflecting on this, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if all of us had a yearly evaluation? I have never seen this bumper sticker. You better laugh, because that took me a while to come up with that. How's my discipling? Call 1-800-LISTENING. Wouldn't it be something if all of us got some feedback on how we are represented? For those of us who are followers of Jesus, wouldn't it be interesting to get some feedback on how we're doing? How are we coming across? Are people wanting to know Jesus more by hanging around with us or less? To actually go and ask those questions can be really hard. But do you want to be a deer or do you want to be a toddler? Because deer will seek that out. They want that. Remember, they treasure criticism. Like a family heirloom, they treasure it. So to go and ask, how am I doing? How is my discipling? How much of a deer... How much like a deer are you? So here's some things to ask yourself. If you want to be a deer, ask yourself this. Do I think more like a soldier or a scout? You know the difference between a soldier and a scout? A soldier defends. A scout explores. Do you treat your relationships, do I treat my relationships more like a soldier or a scout? Are we more defensive or are we more curious? Do I want to understand or just be right? Do I seek opposing views? Actually seek them out. Find someone who doesn't think like you. Sit down and have coffee with them. Ask a bunch of questions. This one's tough. Do I enjoy the pleasant surprise of discovering I'm wrong. I'll tell you why it's a pleasant surprise to discover that you're wrong, by the way. Because discovering that you're wrong is an opportunity to grow and change. If all you ever find out is how right you are, how much are you changing? Nothing. So it's a good thing when we find out we're wrong. I'll bet you're not convinced. And you know why I know you're not convinced? Because I'm not convinced either. I don't like to know that I'm wrong, but I know it's good for me. It's like eating broccoli. Keep in mind, my church family, that listening sets you apart. Seek feedback. So that was the first thing. Seek feedback. Number two, invest your time wisely. We talked about the counselors. And they spend a disproportionate amount of time with deer. People who are listening, people who are hungry, people who want to learn. They don't spend a lot of their time banging their heads against the wall with toddlers and mockingbirds and jesters. You will go nowhere. I'm not saying they're not worth time at all. I'm just saying the Bible's telling us invest your time wisely. You only have a limited amount of time. Number three is measure your joy. And this is what I mean. This comes from Proverbs as well. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. When they're not listening to the Lord, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Joyful. Whoever obeys the law is joyful. Now, this is talking about Old Testament law, but this carries over, the principle of this carries over into the New Testament. And Jesus gave us one new command, one law that is above every law. It's three words. What is it? Ooh, close. The one command Jesus gave us, love one another. That's the command above all commands. That is the Christ command. That is the Christ law. Love one another. And this brings joy, and I'll tell you why. Because if you and I are living according to love one another, our focus is not on us. Our focus is on other people. Misery comes from self-focus. Misery comes from trying to make self happy. It's weird. The more we seek happiness for ourselves, the more elusive it becomes. But the more we serve, the more we give to others, the more we love other people and put our focus on other people, the more joyful we become. Our lives have purpose. They have meaning. There's wonder and amazement in that. Whoever obeys that law of Christ is joyful. So measure your joy. Are we listening? Are we listening to Jesus? Jesus says, I'm giving you one thing you got to do. You got to make sure you get this one right. You got to make sure you do this one. Love one another. When we listen to that, our joy factor goes up. Now, I want to give you some little extras here, some listening tips. If you want to become a deer, here are some listening tips. First of all, acknowledge my limitations. This is tough. For know-it-alls, this is really tough. To say, oh yeah, that's right. In the grand scheme of all the knowledge that's out there, I know this much. So there's actually things to learn, amen? Yeah. So acknowledge my limitations. I'm going to talk about this in a moment, but this has to do with humility. Number two, approach every person like their student. It's something, I came across this some time ago, and I try to do this with every person that I meet, is to learn from them. Listen to them. I can learn from anyone, and so can you. Anyone. Do you believe that? You can learn from anyone. Sometimes the people that I've learned the most from are severely handicapped people. I learn honesty, tenderness, compassion. Approach every person like their student. Number three, face the reality of my current errors. Everyone in this room believes something wrong right now. Some of you seem really unconvinced. We all believe something wrong right now. We don't know what it is, but it's there. Chances are it's a long list. We get to spend the rest of our lives figuring out what is on that list. But if we are going to grow and move beyond that list, it's going to take listening. Finally, number four, make it a goal to listen more than I talk. And I realize that is really ironic coming from the guy who just spent the last half hour talking to you. But I try when I'm not up here to listen more than I talk. And I realize when you're like one-on-one with someone, you know, a nice 50-50 ratio is good, but try to allow the other person to talk more. If you're in a group of people, of course, you talk even less. It is amazing how unself-aware some people are about how much they talk. While you're talking, you are learning nothing. Dear, listen. Always listening. And that's what I want for all of you. I want us all in this room to become dear and eventually counselors, because our world needs wisdom. They need people with godly wisdom who are caring and kind. So I just want to remind you of the differences between those who listen and those who don't. Here's a handy wisdom recap for you. Jesters and mockingbirds. They have no life. They choose failure over reward. They flock only to people who think like them. They respond only to pain. They resent authority. And they don't change. Anyone want to sign up to be a jester or mockingbird? I doubt it. None of us want to be that. So let's remember, the deer advance in life and they treasure advice. They treasure it. And counselors get maximum returns on their investment. Now, before we close today, I want to acknowledge that anyone can listen if they put their mind to it. Follower of Jesus or not follower of Jesus, but I'll tell you something. To really become a deer, to really listen, requires humility. It requires a change of heart. I don't know about you, but I am naturally inclined towards being a toddler. Anyone else? I naturally don't listen. I naturally make fun of other people like a mocker. And I can naturally be foolish, but when I became a follower of Jesus, something happened inside of me. A transformation began to take place. And God is helping me to become more humble, which in really practical terms means he's helping me to listen more. It says in the New Testament, we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Jesus died on a cross to set us free from our natural tendencies, amongst many other things. To set us free from the pride that keeps us from listening. And if you have received Jesus as your Savior and Lord this morning, then you have the opportunity to continue to grow in humility, because God is transforming you by His Holy Spirit from the inside out, amen? So you can become more like deer. Now, for those of us in this room, haven't made that decision yet, it's wide open to you. You can receive Jesus as your Savior today, right now. You can start on a path towards humility that you've never known before. You can begin to put aside being a toddler, a mockingbird, a jester. You can be more like a deer and eventually a counselor. It's a wonderful thing. The ultimate wisdom comes from God. And let's never forget that listening sets you apart. Some people attribute age and wisdom together, as though the older you get, the wiser you get. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's not true. Here's what I believe. Wisdom is not found in the number of years opened. It's not how many times you've opened a new calendar. Wisdom is not found in the number of years opened. Rather, it is found in the number of times our ears have been opened. I'll say it again. Wisdom is not found in the number of years opened. Rather, it is found in the number of times our ears have been opened. I want to encourage all of us in this room that this week we begin to treasure advice. Seek feedback. Find out. Ask people in your connect group. Ask people that you're close to. How's my discipling? How am I doing? Get some of that feedback. I double dog dare you. It's hard, but you will grow. You will grow so much because we all have blinders and we don't see. And if you really want to be a listener, seek out that advice. Seek out that counsel. Seek out that criticism. And you will grow and you will change and you'll become more like Christ. Let's pray. First of all, Father, I want to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, that you are in the business of reworking us from the inside out. That even though our natural tendency may be towards being toddlers and being jesters and mockingbirds, God, you continue to transform us to be more humble, to be listeners, to absorb the feedback around us. To even have the courage to ask for feedback is something that comes from you. You did not give us a spirit of fear. You did not want us to fear feedback. You wanted us to dive right into it and learn from it. And I know more than anything, you want us to listen when you speak through other people and to listen to your word and listen to your spirit. God, may this church be a church of listeners, be a church of deer, become a church of counselors. Lord, may we be known in our workplaces, in our families, in our marriages, as people who listen and grow. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross and setting us free from our pride. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. There's going to be some people up here afterwards. If you'd like some prayer, come on up, and they would be happy to pray with you. The rest of you, stay dry.